Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting Program with Muhammad by Ravit and in the background. I think, you know, whenever I look at this whole thing, we sit and we like make noise in front and talk behind the microphone. But the controller of this whole thing, this whole radio program, is the engineers behind, and we don't give them due. Muhammad by Ravit, I must say Jazakallah for everything. Every Sunday being dedicated there for us as well. And if it wasn't for your dedication and coming and punching and pressing all those buttons for us, I think I'll be lost in the studio here. But Jazakallah for that. I would like to say Jazakallah. Sometimes you do slip up like we've just done now. It's after the promo you played the Nasheed. But anyway, these things do happen, Alhamdulillah. But Jazakallah for everything. I would like to just comment that everything is done through what work you do behind the scenes, and we should recognize that as well. Jazakallah for that. But more than that, Alhamdulillah, on this lovely Sunday morning on the Globe Trotting program, we talk travel, we try our best to talk on current issues of or current country destinations that lots of people want to visit, and also an attraction of different countries that we'd like to bring forward. Today we're supposed to have Croatia online, but unfortunately due to circumstances we couldn't get them just in time. I think it was a last minute issue and we had to just call it off, but I'll try and see for next week if we can still get them on. Croatia is becoming a destination as well, a lovely destination. There are many travel agents who's punting and promoting Croatia because it's a beautiful country. So we will be talking Croatia, and let's see if we can bring that to the attention of lots of listeners, which makes a difference. There are many a times which we had spoken of different countries which people never knew about, and Alhamdulillah, we had people going to those countries and establishing a holiday destination out of those countries and passing the message on to others. And like they always say, when it comes to holidays also, it's word of mouth. Lots of people, when they go and they say, wow, what a beautiful country, Alhamdulillah, I've been there. Just go there, go check this out, check that out, and the next one will decide to go on. For example, the perfect example I use, which please don't tell me, oh, not again, but the perfect example I use is Vietnam. I'm going to tell you a little more about that, where it's become a holiday destination. And you know, that is something which makes a difference. So, for example, another one also, we had always spoken about Suriname previously, and there were people that went to Suriname and came back. They came back with lovely pictures of Suriname being the old style Suriname, old cities and so on. But beautiful, the Spanish old cities, or Dutch old cities, I would say. And people started going to Suriname. And with that as well, we had one, two other countries which we just started talking about, which was probably not on the list or on the bucket list of anybody, and they happen to just decide to go there, and there we go. It becomes a tourist destination. Another one was Trinidad and Tobago. We had spoken about Trinidad and Tobago some time back, and I had a few listeners that came back to me not so long ago, coming and just sending me information, like I always request information on your holiday trips, and I do get the information and your experiences. And Trinidad and Tobago, people went there and they enjoyed themselves. They had a good time, lovely, especially the beaches, the sandy, white sandy beaches and so on. So it's a type of holiday that you're looking for, and it's the affordability as well. If it is so, make it a point and go out there, tour different places, look at different places with the intention, with a clear intention of, Ya Allah, I'm going to these places not just to make maja, not just to have a holiday and just to chill out, whatever it is. Let me be there and have some type of impact on the locals with my akhlaq maybe, and bring about some awareness of the deen of Allah. Let us make that intention, and with having that intention, Allah will make your holiday a lovely holiday. Secondly, your intention of doing that, Allah will accept that from you as dawah as well, inshallah. And that can probably benefit you sometime, or benefit us all sometime in life. So let's make it a point that we have that small intention in the back of our minds. And if that is the case, Allah make it easy, and Allah make it that you enjoy and you have a good time. But make sure, like I say, from time to time, we I had experienced with quite a few people lots of times, when you go out, when you go on a holiday, wherever it may be, please don't leave your namaz behind. Don't leave your salah behind, and don't leave your Islam behind. We see that. Especially like, I'm not so sure if I mentioned this before, but it's not something we should talk about, but it's just something that we should learn from. on my way to Seychelles, in the plane, there was a couple, a young couple. It seemed like the gentleman was quite young. The lady was in full purdah. And she was, you could see she was dedicated in purdah. She had gloves and whatever heavy, and she was like full purdah. Anyway, we come to Seychelles, we split at the airport, we went up north, and wherever they went, Allah alone knows, we were up north, we whatever. Now we decided to come somewhere central to the, well, there's a lovely beach out there, beach resort, where on a Sunday, everybody just come and crowds up at the beach, and we thought, let us go and have a look at that particular area, and see how it is, like a Fordsburg Square on a Saturday night, that is a Sunday afternoon at that particular beach. So we decided to pitch on that beach, and we just came up there, we got dropped off by our taxi, our guide, and walking on the beach, I happened to look at this youngster, and I saw him sitting there, and I thought, oh, mashallah, the same couple that we met in the plane, alhamdulillah, you know, this couple, this girl, this woman is in purdah, alhamdulillah. When I looked and I saw her next to him, I saw this girl here in totally inappropriate dress, and when I looked, and I said, now what? And when she saw us, she covered her face. Now, that didn't make sense to me at all, because is it me or my family in particular that you got your purdah from, or is it the general public that you should have your purdah from? So that makes a difference, and that is what I bring, I keep that in mind all the time. And having that in mind, you think about it and say that this is just one that I've seen. Please let that not happen all the time, because that is not fair. If we're doing that is absolutely not fair. So we should make it a point that if we dressed appropriately at home, when we're going abroad, let us be dressed appropriately as well. Let us not just take it for granted and get into that real short pants and all that. No, that is not on. Let's have a good Islamic holiday, I would say, inshallah. Allah will bless you for that. And that will become a means of benefit if you're going abroad with those intentions. Allah will make it easy, inshallah. But be that as it may, whatever it is, Allah make it easy. Allah forgive us all for our shortcomings and for whatever wrong we do. Allah forgive us, inshallah. Allah is the best judge, and Allah is the best judge of all judges, and we just make dua that Allah accept from us, alhamdulillah. Our SMS line, as always, 072-786-5520. That's 072-786-5520. My email address, Mohammed@globetrotting.co.za. Mohammed@globetrotting.co.za. Now, we're getting lots of our people going for Hajj. It's Hajj season now, Hajj times. I'm getting quite a few people asking me about Hajj packages and so on. Unfortunately, I'm not a travel agent, and I don't do these things. And Hajj packages and all that, even I stay far from that, because from my experience, I know there's damal, there's big trouble with those Hajj things. Me, I stay far from those things. So when it comes to Hajj packages and all that, choose the best and go find the best agent that you like. Again, we say word of mouth. So find the best and go do whatever you want to with those agents if you feel that they are okay, and do the deal with them. Unfortunately, I do not do that. I do not have contacts at the embassy for visas and so on. So unfortunately, I cannot do that when it comes to Saudi embassy and Hajj and so on. It's a bit difficult. So please, let's just follow the line and do it the way it's supposed to be done. Allah make it easy for us, and Allah accept, inshallah. And those that are coming out greeting for Hajj also, we must remember one thing. Let's go greet everybody, whoever we've interacted with, all family members. Just yesterday, it was a strange thing that I heard. I was sitting and chatting with somebody, and while talking, then he said, you know, so-and-so person is going for Hajj, and he says, it's not necessary to go greet anybody. He got some fatwa from some Maulana. It's not necessary to go greet anybody. As long as you got peace in your heart and you feel you're okay, you didn't harm anybody, you can go for Hajj. I think that is not right. That is not correct. You should first make peace with your fellow human being. You should first ask for maaf from your fellow human being, and then ask, and then go to Allah's house clean. The example, perfect example, which I heard, which makes, you know, it's just so appropriate, that you are a mechanic, you are dirty, you got grease on your face, you got grease on your hands, you are really, really dirty, you got all that on your body, and you get invited to a party, or you get invited to a function, which is an upmarket function. Now, you go to that function, wherever it is, and you're going to go in that condition of having grease on your clothing, grease on your face, some grease marks here, patch marks here, with grease all over your face and fingers and all over. Now you're going to go to that function. Everybody's going to look at you, and they're going to look and say, oh, what's wrong with this guy? He's like, you know, so scrubby and shabby and whatever, and you're going to go and your host is going to look at you and he'll probably just look away from you and say, this dirty box came here, just look away from this guy. And they won't even take care of you, I would say. Likewise, when we go in for Hajj, we should cleanse ourselves before we go, keep ourselves clean, wash all that grease off, wash all that dirt off, do all that before we do anything. We may have harmed or not harmed or anything, but just let's be safe and let's just go wash ourselves off with our fellow human beings before, and then go to the court of Allah in a clean slate and go clean to Allah and say, Ya Allah, I'm here now to ask you for forgiveness. I've now cleaned myself up on the one side, and now this is your part. You play your part on this side. Then Allah will accept, inshallah. So that's very, very important that we should do that. Go out, and it's now coming Hajj season. Lots of people are going. You know, unfortunately, with all these quotas now, very, very, the few people that are allowed to go, the fortunate ones that are allowed to go, Allah accept and Allah make it easy for one and all. Whoever's going, Allah accept all your Hajj. And now that we're coming, it's last four or five weeks also, we're having Qurbani coming up. All that, it's just like so quick. Ramadan just finished and we're already on the Hajj part of it. So we should make it a point that we do it properly. Going for Hajj, inshallah, we do it properly as well. So Allah make it easy, Allah accept. And we ask for, on behalf of Radio Islam as well, whoever's going for Hajj, if we harmed anybody as well, please, we ask for forgiveness. Allah make it easy, and Allah forgive us, and you also please forgive us. And last week we had the discussion with that couple that went to Palestine, that had the overlanders, the Khan's overlanders. We had great response last week, alhamdulillah. We had so many people calling us and also asking for the information of that couple that went and who's in Palestine at the moment, and from there they want to go on further. They you can search for them on the Khan Playground. It was www.thekhanplayground.co.za. So you can search for them and then like them on Facebook and so on, and you can follow them as well. So that is the Khan Playground, which was lots of people that inquired last week. Also, while we were on air, we had so many SMSs that came that I couldn't read all the SMSs. Some of them were redundant way, and some of them were also just the same as previous of others as well. But we had lots of queries. Now we're already up onto news time. We're going to be talking Turkey. We were supposed to have Croatia, but we're going to be talking Turkey. There's so many people asking us about Turkey as well, wanting to go for Turkish holidays. I'm going to be just touching on Turkey, the basics of Turkey, visas and so on, and also where to go, the most common popular places to go for when you are in Turkey, especially when you are around in Istanbul, which area, which hotels around there, which are popular hotels and good hotels also in the main city center. So after the news, inshallah, we'll continue and we'll talk Turkey.
From the heights of Kilimanjaro to the depths of Jericho, and from the white sandy beaches and blue waters of islands in the Indian Ocean to the dense forests of the Amazon on the South American continent, turn dreams into reality as we explore different destinations with myself, Muhammad Lambat. Tune in and listen to the views of ambassadors and counselors on Sundays between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. on the Globe Trotting Show.
Radio Islam International. The world is our community.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, medium wave 1548. On the Globe Trotting program, where we talk travel, alhamdulillah, and we just enjoy doing it. And this is now, we're doing it for years on end, and alhamdulillah, we just enjoy doing it, especially doing research on all the different countries and so on. It's just, you'll find amazing facts of different countries, and that is what just tantalizes me and keeps me going and keeps me ticking, alhamdulillah. Shukr to the Almighty Allah for that. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about Turkey. Just brief on Turkey. There's quite a few people asking about Turkey as well. Turkey hotel, Turkish hotels, Istanbul, where, what, how. Because you have the confusion of the European side and the Asian side and so on. Now, you have Istanbul, which is on the European side. And beautiful, what a city. It is a coastal city as well, so beautiful. Now, it's a long time popular country for South Africans, for its stunning coastline, the rich history, intriguing culture, and of course, it's great value for money as well. There's a lot of confusion, though, about whether or not you need a visa, though, and they seem to keep on changing from time to time. But as it stands now, currently, you do require a visa for Turkey. You do have to get a visa, which is, the office is based in Pretoria. You apply for a visa. You get a maximum of 30 days on arrival in Turkey, so you do need a visa for that. And all you need is, you need your passport, like normal, your passport, your photos, you fill out the forms and you do that and you get your visas. And that is available at the embassy in Pretoria. So it is a must. And, you know, they call Turkey the land of emperors, kings and sultans. It has gorgeous sandy beaches along its Aegean, Mediterranean and Black Sea coast. Its mild climate allows sunshine to warm you up for the most part of the year as you lie on the beaches. And as you swim in the crystal clear waters of the Aegean and the Mediterranean seas. There you can take a tour around the well-preserved great sites of antiquity. Every road you travel on has probably been traveled by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. You call them, and there's Alexander the Great, who they've called. You get Augustus, you get St. Paul, you get Philip, Peter and John, and by the Ottoman sultans. You take a walk in the colorful bazaars and marketplaces that can be found at almost every corner of the country, as this is still the traditional way for locals to shop or wander around the traditional towns and villages that have been carrying the signs of traditional architecture that originated many, many centuries ago. Wherever you go, you can be assured that you will find probably the friendliest and most helpful people in the world. It is today among the safest countries to travel in, that's what they say. Well, you just got to be careful. Wherever you go, whichever country you go, you just got to be careful. But it's very, very safe there. From lots of people that went through, come back, also tell you that it's quite safe. Just you got to be careful of these con artists when it comes to the restaurants and you come to these these Turkish bars and so on. Just be very careful of that. And then, you know, when you are there, you won't miss out on the chance to taste its famous food, which is classified by the gourmet experts among the top three in the world. And that is now tantalizing, I would say. So you have the best of Turkish food as well. Now, the tourism statistics. Foreign tourist arrivals increased substantially in Turkey up until about 2008. The statistics that were there from 12.8 to 21 million. That was now in 2008 to 21 million, which made Turkey a top 10 destination in the world for foreign visitors. And it's in 2011, it was the sixth most popular tourist destination. Turkey has also been chosen third in the world in the 2014 with its 397 blue flag beaches, according to the Chamber of Shipping. Now, when they talk of blue flagged beaches, there was a time when South Africa had all their beaches blue flagged, and that was very safe to swim in. Unfortunately, that has been taken away, and I think that you can see clearly if you go to Durban over Christmas New Year weekend in December, you would see that that is definitely not a blue flagged area. That is totally a no-no to be there. So to have a blue flag status is just one of the best statuses, I would say, when it comes to having clean and pristine beaches. Now, there's lots of tourist attractions in Turkey. You have the Turkey, you have, it's, you know, the city itself. It's packed to the brim with ancient monuments, left over from a parade of conquerors and endowed with showcase scenery that never fails to impress. Turkey is a dazzling destination that straddles Asia and Europe. Its vibrant culture, famed cuisine and vast history will... You know, when you go there, it's just the culture itself takes you away, and all who venture there, while its glorious landscapes from the sun-soaked Mediterranean to the mighty mountains and the arid steppe are a highlight in themselves. Whether you want to lap up the Byzantine and Ottoman glories of Istanbul on a city break, or you want to laze on the beach, delve into the history, wandering through ruins such as the Ephesus, or see some of the world's most surreal panoramas in Cappadocia, this The country has attractions galore. It's just amazing. There's so many things you can do. And there's so many different things from, if it comes to want to chill out, relax on the beaches, you have that. If you want to do history tourism, you can do that. You want to go to all these monuments, you can do that. You want to do all these masjid tours, you have the full masjid tours, you can do that as well. There's so many religious tours. Then you have the museums. There's so much to do. And tourism in Turkey is focused largely on a variety of historical sites and on seaside resorts along its Aegean and Mediterranean coast. In recent years, Turkey has also become a popular destination for culture, for the spa, the healthcare tourism. And in 2011, Turkey attracted more than 31.5 million foreign tourists, ranking the sixth most popular. That was, as I said, in 2011. And in January 2013, the Turkish government announced that it will build the world's largest airport in Istanbul. The operation has invested 7 billion euros and will have its first part of 4 plane completed by 2017. Now, having that many tourists coming into the country, you obviously want to have the port of entry to be the best. And that's what exactly happens where they have the best airport to be built. And inshallah, that will happen and it will really, really increase tourism there. And there are lots of people going for different reasons. Alhamdulillah, and fantastic, beautiful. Istanbul is one of the most important tourism spots, not only in Turkey, but also in the world. There are thousands of hotels and other tourist-oriented industries in the city catering to both vacationers and visiting professionals. Turkey's largest city, which is Istanbul, has a number of major attractions derived from its historical status as capital of the Byzantine and Ottoman empires. These include the Sultan Ahmed Masjid, the Hagia Sophia, the Topkapi Palace, the Basilica Cistern, the Dolmabahce Palace, the Galata Tower, the Grand Bazaar, which is a huge bazaar, the Spice Bazaar, the Pira Palace, and you have when it comes to the city itself, there's so many different things to do. It has also recently become one of the biggest shopping centers of the European region by hosting malls and shopping centers such as the Metro City, the Ek Merkez, the Sivahir Mall, which is the biggest mall in Europe, and the seventh largest shopping center in the world. Other attractions include sporting events, museum, and cultural events. Then you have the beach vacations as well, and the blue cruises, particularly for Turkish delights, and visitors from Western Europe are also central to the Turkish tourism industry. Most beach resorts are located among the southwestern and southern coast, called the Turkish Riviera, especially along the southwestern and the southern coast, and the Mediterranean coast near the Antalya. Antalya is also accepted as the tourism capital of Turkey. Lots of cultural events elsewhere in the country include sites as the Ephesus, the Troy, the Pergamon, the Pamukkale, there's just so many, and all in, you know, all the different Turkish sites that are there. And then you have the Turkish hotels. Now, lots of people are asking, in fact, just yesterday also, somebody called me, there's the hotels in Turkey. The central part, I would say, if you want to really be centered to most of the places where it's not far to go from wherever you're staying. And, you know, whenever you're booking your hotels, always make sure you book at the place where it's quite central, where you can either east, west, north or south, is accessible, where you don't have to travel from the north. If you want to go to a certain place, you've got to travel all day to reach certain destinations when it comes to attractions. Taksim Square Hotel, there are lots of hotels in Taksim Square, which lots of people, when they go from here, they stay in and around the Taksim Square area, which is not far from the bazaars, from the masjids, and all the popular masjids as well. Now, in the Taksim Square area, there's quite a few hotels. You have the hotel which is the Taksim Metro Park, then you have the Baseli Suites, the Taksim Star. The Baseli Suites are in the region of about, currently you're looking at about 400-500 rands per night. And then you have the Taksim Metro Park, which is about 1100 rands per night. Then the Taksim Star, the Garmir Palace Hotel, the Flora Suites, Titanic. Marmara is quite popular also in Taksim. The Marmara Hotel, which is the opposite the Texan Park, is very, very popular, very central as well. And around that vicinity, there's quite a few Muslim, Pakistani, Indian, halal takeaways, restaurants, and so on. So in that region also, it's quite popular. From there, when it comes to wanting to travel out from wherever you want to go and go for different tours and you want to go out, you come out of the hotel and like other Asian countries and Eastern countries, you would find that the taxis are readily available. You just get out of the hotel, pick your finger up, and the taxis are available. All meter taxis are available. So it's all in the center and available all the time. Then you have the Nippon Hotel and the Grand Hyatt is also there, all in the Taksim area. So if you are looking, you can search for these popular hotels, which are the Taksim Metro Park. The Taksim Star is quite a nice hotel. The Marmara and the Grand Hyatt Hotel is also quite popular. So you can check for all those hotels. Then another thing which is also important that you must do while you're in Turkey is you must do the Bosphorus tours. A cruise on the Bosphorus is probably the most overlooked Istanbul tourist attraction. Understandable, with such an abundance of historical sightseeing spots in Istanbul and too little time to squeeze them all in your short holiday. But take advice and set out a few hours aside to take an unforgettable Bosphorus tour, which is very important. And definitely you won't regret it. At least if you follow these simple guidelines, you stay clear of private Bosphorus tours, which is of importance. Don't go get them over the private guys because some of them will rip you off. Just be very careful with these private guys. And then you always see the scene unfolding almost every day. Poorly informed tourists willing to take a Bosphorus tour. They walk around on the docks when they come there. And while they're walking on the docks in search of a Bosphorus cruise, and you get all these punters that come out there to you, and they offer you all these cruises. And these guys can clearly see that now you're looking to go out for a Bosphorus tour. What they do, they spot your behavior, and they come from a mile away and offer you they offer you a seat on their Bosphorus cruise boats. And then, when you get onto that cruise boat of theirs, don't get tempted by the offers that they offer you. These hustlers, what offers they make, just be very careful. Their tours sometimes are overpriced, sometimes it's double or more. Shorter, and the tours are very, very much shorter, and the boats, they can be barely called seaworthy. And you would see that. When you're going out there, you'd see all that. And you'd see what type of boats that they offer as well. And with official companies that you get in, You must go and you ask them for a short circle Bosphorus cruise or a full Bosphorus cruise and a full Bosphorus cruise by night that they offer as well. And these are offered from time to time, so you just got to check with the officers that are in charge there. Alternatively, at your hotel, ask them who are the reputable guys to do this and do it with them. Don't just get carried away because you can be ripped off when it comes to that. Then you have the short circle Bosphorus cruise, which is first up is the brand new non-stop short circle Bosphorus tour, which is great for people who are pressed for time but don't want to miss a genuine Bosphorus experience. And this tour is available every day, and it's a short tour which pick up time is around 2:30 in the afternoon, so you have a short tour for the half day and you continue. And then if you're doing a full, you do the full Bosphorus tour, which offers a great Bosphorus experience and will take several hours in total. The cruise will take you from Eminönü, that is the port where you get on, all the way to the Black Sea and back again. Each way takes about 90 minutes, since the ferry makes 5 short stops to let people on board and off all the time at different ports. You must get off the ferry at Anadolu, and the last harbor before the Black Sea. And it gives you the opportunity to grab a late lunch in one of the town's fish restaurants located on the shore and visit the fortress as well. The ferry does a few complete day tours, so you can get on board another one as well, so that's not a problem. And then you have the Bosphorus cruise by night, which is also beautiful. You can do that also. That is something which will be very, very, very interesting to do. Then you have to visit the beautiful masjids. The masjids of Turkey are amongst the best when it comes to the architecture, when it comes to the way it's designed. We see it here. We have the Süleymaniye Masjid in Mardin, the Turkish masjid. Beautiful architecture. Now you'll find 10 times better than that also in Turkey. And you go there, it's the great imperial masjid of Istanbul, Bursa, Edirne, are usually open continuously every day for long hours. And it's all for free, you can enter. And in most visitors' masjid, a separate area may be set off by railings for non-Muslim visitors, so that distraction of the people making salah is minimized as well. And then the smaller masjids in other cities may close outside namaz times. Often the caretaker is on hand, so you can ask him to open if you want to visit the masjid. Avoid going on a Jummah morning to visit these masjids, as if you want to go do a tour. If you're going there for Jummah, it's a different story, but just avoid going as a family tour to these masjids. And all visitors to masjids, Muslim or non-Muslims, are required to remove their shoes, which is a must. You have to take out your shoes. You must try and speak quietly. You'll find people making a noise. But try and be quiet most of the time. As we know, the sanctity of the masjid, move slowly. They do allow camera photographs as well. You are allowed that. You take photographs in the different masjids also. But just try not to have lots of flashes, because they don't like your flashes in the masjids. And then you got to take care when people, you find that lots of people making salah, people just walk blindly. Try and just avoid crossing those people while they're making their salah. And then also try and dress appropriately, as I say all the time, dress appropriately. Lots of these masjids allow you to go there and they give you jubbas at the entrance. And some of them, what they do is they give you covers for your shoes. So when you want to enter the masjid, if you don't want to take your shoe out, they give you some covers which you cover your shoes. It's a material cover with elastic on top. And then you just cover your shoe and then you walk with it. But it's advisable that you take your shoes out and you walk into the masjid. It's much, much, much better. And for women that go there, they make sure that they must have a headscarf all the time. It's a must. They do offer that for the non-Muslims as well. They offer the headscarves outside, so they put it on and then go inside the masjid. Then the masjids to visit is in Istanbul, and as we know, it's famous for all the masjids and the Ottoman architecture. As the capital of the Ottoman Empire since 1453 and the largest city in Turkey, Istanbul has over 3,000 masjids. And this makes it overwhelming to decide which one to visit. But there are 7 most important masjids to see in Istanbul, based on the architectural character and the historical context. The first one is the Blue Masjid, the Blue Mosque, which they call. The 7th century masjid facing the Hagia Sophia is famous for its beautiful blue tile work ornamenting its interior walls. Its 6 slim minarets distinguish it from the masjids, the other masjids which are there, which normally have 2 or 4 minarets. It was built from 1609 to 1616, took 7 years to build, during the rule of Ahmed I. And like many other masjids, it also houses the tomb of the founder and a madrasa and a hospice as well, which still used as a masjid. Sultan Ahmed is one of the most popular and important tourist attractions in Istanbul. Sultan Ahmed is considered to be the last great masjid of the Ottoman classical period, as it is the culmination of 2 centuries of both Ottoman masjid and Byzantine church development. It incorporates some Byzantine elements of Hagia Sophia along with traditional Islamic architecture. And then you have the Suleymaniye Masjid. The Suleymaniye, they call it the Magnificent Masjid, and it's the 2nd largest masjid in the city and one of the best known sites of Istanbul. Now the Turkish Masjid here in Mardin is based on that architecture as well. It's a copy of that masjid, but it's reduced in size. This outstanding masjid was built also in the 16th century by the famous Ottoman architect Mimar Sinan for Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent. And it combines tall, slender minarets typical of Ottoman architecture with large dome buildings supported by half domes in the style of Byzantine church Hagia Sophia, which the Ottomans converted into a mosque of Hagia Sophia afterwards. The design also plays on Suleiman's second Solomon ego, as it preferences the Dome of the Rock in Palestine and the courtyard of its exceptional grandeur with a colonnade of peristyle. The tombs of Sultan, his wife Haram, and Mimar Sinan is found within its compounds. It is the largest mosque with 4 minarets, but not the largest overall. And then you have the new mosque, which is the Yeni Kami, and the mosque was ordered by Safiye Sultan, who was the wife of Sultan Murad III, and the construction began in 1597. So Yenikami is also another masjid to visit. And then you have the Rustam Pasha, which is another one to visit as well. And the Rustam Pasha is a masjid commissioned by a businessman, the Grand Vizier, the minister of Suleiman's court, and he was a military man as well. So that is also a masjid to visit. And then you have the Shahzadi Masjid, which is also, it's called a Prince Masjid, the Shahzadi Masjid. And that's a Prince Masjid, which is commissioned by Prince Mohammed. And then you have the Hagia Sophia, famous in particular for its massive dome, and it's considered the epitome of Byzantine architecture, and is said to have changed the history of architecture. While it was built in 360 as the Greek Patriarchal Cathedral and Constantinople, in about 1453 it was converted into a masjid. That is until 1931, when it was secularized and turned into a museum. It was the largest cathedral in the world for nearly 1,000 years, and then it was converted into a masjid. And then you have the Eyüp, which is the seventh one. Eyüp is also in Istanbul. So the Eyüp Masjid, built after the conquest of Istanbul, the great Masjid of Eyüp lies outside the city walls of Eyüp district, near the Golden Horn, at the supposed place where Eyüp, the standard bearer of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, died in the Islamic assault of Constantinople in 670. Today it is considered as the second place of pilgrimage for Muslims after Mecca. That's what they call it when the Turkish people, they find it very, very important because of the history of that masjid. And then you have the museum, which is a must, you have to do, and which is a top copy museum. The museum is open every day except Tuesdays, and the museum is closed at first days of the religious festive days until the afternoon. Then the sacred relics department, you must always refrain from entering the sacred relics department with shorts, the mini skirts and top tank tops and all strapless clothing and all that. Just try and avoid that, because that's where you have all the Sahaba's relics and so on. So, you know, be very careful. The hair of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is there as well. So just be careful when you enter that place. Be very, very appropriately dressed. And then then you get... What they wouldn't allow so much in these places is prams. So if you are going, try and avoid going with prams. And then the haram section, if you want to visit the haram, you have to buy a separate ticket from the ticket booths which stand outside the museum in front of the haram entrance. And you can enter there as well, the haram place. And then you can also take photos, but it's important that you note that they don't allow photographs with flash. You cannot use flashes in any of these museum places, because they say it damages and tarnishes the colors and so on. And you mustn't use flashes at all. They will tell you. They also have large signs there that will show you that you're not allowed to use camera flashes. Some of the places you're not allowed to use cameras at all. They don't allow you to take pictures of all these relics also, lots of them. So just be very, very, very careful when you're going out there. And also, as we say, Turkey has lots of Islamic history. So if you are intending, there are lots of people, I know that in last year especially, lots of people, last December, lots of people went around there. The weather is not so great in December though, but if you go in September, October, November, fantastic, you can go, you know, it will be lovely, weathers will be lovely. June, July also, fantastic weathers to go there. So weather-wise, it just depends, just do your research on the times to go. And it will be a lovely, lovely Islamic holiday that you can go for there. Just be careful with the food. The whole country of food is not halal, as they would say that it's all halal, but all of it is not halal. Be very careful when you're doing when you're going for meals. Try and find places which are reputable and which really you are certain about the halal. When you make inquiries, and they will tell you that whichever places are really halal and you can go there for your halal food. So that's also of utmost importance. So that is something of importance that we should know. So give it a bash. If it is Turkey, there are lots of tours, lots of companies offering Turkish tours. Look into it and really, really enjoy Turkey. Let's see what we can do, inshallah. Next week, I hope to have Croatia online. If we do get them online, inshallah, we will talk to Croatia. And we will definitely bring Croatia to you. And let's see how it is. And let's see what we can do and talk about a country, another destination, which is becoming popular. I do have some emails already that's come in. I will respond to the emails. And I'm going to be, I've got two SMSs just asking questions about Turkey. I'll follow that up. Personally, yeah, I'm not going to mention it on here, inshallah. We'll take it on from there. From myself, until next week, same place. Here we go again. From my, you know, I'm catching up with the cold. My nose is just giving in, as you could hear, even forgive me for that. But I'm catching up with a terrible cold and probably a flu coming up. I can really feel it. But inshallah, from myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.